This is Joe Ferrillo, and welcome to the weekly sermon from Amwell Church of the Brethren. We are located at 40 Sandbrook Headquarters Road in Surgeonsville, New Jersey.
This week's message is presented by Deacon Jeff Kiscerno and is entitled Essential Prayer.
The title of this morning's sermon is Essential Prayer. Essential Prayer. We hear and we use the word prayer often and in many different ways. You may be talking with someone as you meet and greet people in your daily chores of life. We're going through a trying time, and they ask you to please pray for me, or please pray that. And you can finish the sentence. We may hear a public figure, largely politicians, whether a believer or a non-believer, many times. A well-known individual, make a statement about praying for a group of individuals who are going through a desperate situation, like a hurricane, like a flood, and some natural disaster. And they will say, you know, let's keep such and such individuals in prayer. And there are some times when someone asks us to pray for them for a specific reason. Of all these examples, only the individuals who are asking for that prayer or uttering those words knows how sincere they are about holding someone up in prayer. And that's the essential part of our message this morning, is the seriousness with which we approach the throne. I think all of us probably find ourselves at times when we said we'd pray for someone, and we didn't, because we forgot. I know if I don't write things down, I forget quite easily, and it's getting worse. But a couple quotes, and I Googled this this morning before I came, and I was amazed, absolutely amazed, at how many different quotes there are about prayer, some a little more meaningful than others. But a couple of them, and this is by Billy Graham, says, prayer is simply a two-way conversation between you and God. And here's another one that I liked. If you only pray when you're in trouble, you're in trouble. And many, 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 many more good ones like that. But for the Christian, prayer is our primary way in which we communicate with God, with our Heavenly Father. And this morning we're going to discuss that. Martin Luther said this: to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Think about that for a second. Let's repeat that. To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. Can we be a Christian? Can we have any relationship if we are not actively speaking with our Heavenly Father? Is that possible? I don't think so. I think it's impossible. Now, I don't know where everyone is with respect to their prayer life, but I think it's important that we try and not only be consistent at it, but I think it's also extremely important as to how we go about that. We simply cannot have a relationship with God, the Father, God the Son, or God the Holy Spirit, if we are not in prayer on a regular basis. Same thing applies for any earthly relationship. If you have a family member that you haven't seen for a long time, is it possible to have any kind of meaningful relationship if you're not talking to them? Out of sight, out of mind. James 5:16 says, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. Here's the key part of this verse. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. When we pray, don't we really want it to count? Don't we really want it to matter? We certainly do if we're praying for something for ourselves, correct? We certainly do. As a matter of fact, that's probably the time we get the most serious. Other than perhaps very close family members. That word fervent, by definition, means very hot. Very hot. And it also means exhibiting or marked by great intensity of feeling. Great intensity of feeling. That's fervent. I wonder how often we are fervent when we pray. So, this is a moment to reflect upon where we are in our prayer life, because yours truly can greatly improve on my prayer life. So how do we pray? The disciples asked Jesus in Luke 11:1 how we should pray. And here is what he taught him. And I'm going back now to Matthew 6:9-13. And I think I'm going to ask you to read this with me. After this manner, pray ye, Our Father, all together, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So that is the way that Christ taught us to pray. It's simple, it's short, and it's all-encompassing. So let's talk about it for a minute. We should begin our prayers with praise. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed, holy, consecrated be thy name. We should exhibit an attitude of submission. Here's a tough one. Submitting everything over to God. I think that all of us are guilty of trying to help God along a little bit. Are we not? Anybody been guilty of helping God along a little bit? I won't ask you to raise your hand. But I think we all are, more times than we care to admit. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We should ask for our daily bread, daily sustenance, daily guidance. Give us this day our daily bread. We should ask for forgiveness. We should seek pardon. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now, the second part of that, as we forgive our debtors, we got to make sure that we are doing that, right? Because easy for us to ask for forgiveness, much tougher when you couple that with forgiving others. Right? We hear the phrase, haven't heard it in a long time. Every once in a while you hear it in a conversation. I can forgive, but I can't forget. You ever hear that? Ever anybody say that to you? I can forgive, but I can forget. Did you really forgive? Of course not. Of course not. And we know that if we come before the Lord and we ask Him for forgiveness, it's never to be remembered again by Him. Isn't that what Scripture says? Right? We should ask for guidance and deliverance from temptation and sin, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Keep us from the evil of Satan. And then we should acknowledge God's power and glory. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, a very important reminder. This is a model prayer that Christ gave the disciples, and in the case of Matthew, all the crowd that was there, because in Matthew 6, this was part of the Sermon on the Mount, so which is all comprehensive. So Christ was addressing the disciples. So this is for the Christian on how to pray. But it is a model. It is not a prayer that is to be prayed over and over again by repeating it. And it should not become a ritual. But as we said before, it is a perfect prayer. It's a God-centered prayer. We come to Him empty, asking for the things to get us through each and every day. And it's pleasing to Him when we pray in this manner. So let's go back and let's add some more instruction from our Lord and Savior about this. Let's go back in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. I don't think Christ is very happy when we make a spectacle. And I don't know how often this happens. I don't. We pray collectively as a church family, and that's important. But I think in a case like this, this is someone who prays out openly and wants to be seen. I think there is also, we'll continue. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. So He wants us to come to Him secretly in prayer, but He rewards us openly for all to see. Isn't that an interesting paradox? We go to Him in prayer secretly, but when He rewards us and answers our prayer, something you may be very ecstatic about, or something that's obvious to other people, like getting a job that you've been praying for. Brother James gave us a wonderful message some months back about all the things that the Lord took him through and put him in place, only to present that job to him in an incredible, wonderful timing for all to see and observe. Even for the non-believer, it's got to make them stop and wonder, wow, must be more to that. Isn't that the idea? But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So vain repetitions. Don't want to keep saying the same thing over and over and over again, where it almost becomes ritualistic. You know, I think everyone that's here this morning has been exposed, you certainly are here, to the spontaneity of prayer. One great example that Pastor Bob gives us is that, and I know he's done it with probably almost everyone here, if you came to him with a concern, what did he do? On the spot? On the spot or over the phone, right? Right then and there. No waiting. Let's pray. That's a wonderful thing. And it's, I love it when I hear someone who prays a heartfelt prayer that's right out of the heart. Does it have to be lengthy? No. Should it be lengthy? If the Spirit leads. But if we look at the model of the Lord's Prayer that He gave us, it's not lengthy. Doesn't want to be repetitive. Get to the point. How often should we pray? Well, there's no limit to how often that we should pray. I think if we're doing it, we're doing it many times a day. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, pray without ceasing. Three words, that's the verse. Not many verses that short in the Bible, is there? Jesus wept. Pray without ceasing. Three words. We can't get confused about that one, can we? Pray without ceasing. So that means we should be constant in prayer. We should also pray with perseverance. Now, here comes a quick lesson on patience. In Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 18, it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And this is, of course, relating to putting on our spiritual armor. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Perseverance means to be steadfast. And also means a continued effort despite difficulties, failures, or opposition. So where should we pray? We just read in Scripture about going into your closet. I know some folks, I've heard some folks, I don't know them personally, who take that literally. Maybe they live in a very busy household with a bunch of kids. So you go into the closet, shut the door, and you spend some time with the Lord. I personally like to take time in my car because I'm in my car a lot. So in the morning, it's a good time for me to pray and try and remember some of the folks that I said I would pray for, and family and friends and all the other concerns that may have been brought up here each Sunday. But let me say this, with all the noise and all the distractions in our world, more than we realize, way more than we realize, just the background noise, would it not be better if we tried to find a quiet place to be more specific, intent, when we spend time with the Lord? Would that not be more pleasing to Him when we do that? To find that quiet place and do it in a consistent manner. Good example. Have you ever found yourself trying to concentrate, doing something, whatever it is, some sort of task? Maybe you were trying to read. Maybe you were like me and you were trying to read the morning paper at night. And there's a lot of commotion going on. And you just can't concentrate. Or maybe you're trying to listen to the news. And so what do? You ask someone whoever's in the room to kind of tone it down so you can concentrate, right? I'm sure my wife could speak volumes to this with me. And I do need to ask her forgiveness for that, because I can tell you that there's probably way more times than not when I am trying to listen to something and she's telling me about something in her day. I take the heat. So for me, it's not probably did I ask somebody. It's definite. But because prayer is so important, essential, in fact, should we not try to show our sincerity when we offer praise and we ask for things from the Lord for ourselves and for others? So what should our attitude be? Let's talk about that. Our attitude should be this. We should be sincere. Think about who we're praying to. We are praying to our sovereign, omnipotent, omniscient God. I was going to bring something up here today, and only when I got here I realized we don't have internet, so I couldn't do it, and I didn't print it out. But I wanted to just pull out just a few facts that are so far beyond our comprehension. So I just Googled some statistics on the universe. And, boy, if you have any doubts about how great God is and who we're praying to and whether or not He can answer our prayers in His timing, one little thing that sticks in my head is how fast light travels. When that sun comes up in the morning, light travels, if you forgot it, at 186,000 miles per second. Can you comprehend that? So, take that even further, and if you want to really grasp God's greatness, think about the human body and all that it does. Think about the depths of the ocean. There's things down the bottom of the ocean that probably we haven't even seen yet. And then go out at night on a crisp, cold, clear night and look up at the stars. And think about this, that even the closest star, the light that you're looking at left, it may be millions of light years ago. 186,000 miles a second? Can you do that math? I mean, for the mathematicians and the physicists, that's something times something to the power of 90-something. It's beyond our comprehension. We cannot comprehend that kind of distance and time. We cannot. How great is our God? So think about that when we are talking about praying and the sincerity with which we should do so. Talk about time, 186,000 miles a second. Can't we give Him a few minutes of sincere intent time in prayer? I think if it's something we're praying about, whether it's off the cuff or not, and we do that, right? We quit just a quick prayer, Lord help me with, right? Many times a day, I think we probably do. And He still honors those prayers more often than not, according to His will. But how much better if we really focused on our prayer life for others and for ourselves, including and starting with. And I think if we look at that model of Lord's Prayer, I think it's a good practice. Are we being patient? Do we pray? Do we ask for things? And then get up and do what's next? Or do we wait a little bit? Are we intent? Are we patient in listening for God's answer? May not come for a while, but we are in that mindset. Another attitude, we should be strong and unwavering in our faith. James 1, 5 through 7 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, not wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So what's James talking about there? James gives a whole primer about the importance of faith. We need to come on our knees, or whatever your mode of prayer is, asking in faith. I go back again to how great is the God that we serve? We probably don't think about that every time we come to Him in prayer, but we should. How great Thou art. We need to prepare to hear God's answer, and if not at that moment, be in the right listening frame of mind. Prayer. It is essential. It is something we must be consistent at and always attempting to improve in our daily lives. Let's pray. And so, Lord, we do thank You for the privilege of being able to come to You, a holy, holy God. Lord, we should be taking our shoes off because the ground that You've created is holy. And so, Father, we just first ask You for forgiveness for the times that we are too quick in our prayers, maybe even uncaring. We just think that You're just going to hear us and give us an answer. And so, Lord, as we think about it, we ponder it, let each one of us here this morning try and just improve a little bit more to give You more praise, more glory, more honor as we come to You and as we ask. Because, Lord, We just give you thanks for mercy and grace. And we thank you for what Christ did at Calvary, because we are covered by his shed blood, which gives us the ability to be able to ask you anytime, anywhere, for whatever our concerns may be. And we give you all the praise, honor, and glory for it. It's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.
Audio files, CDs, and notes of our weekly services are available on our website, www.amwell.org, or by calling 609-397-4842 and ask for CDs by the title or by guest speaker. Please don't forget to leave your name, address, and phone number.
Don't forget, summer hours start Sunday, June 28th.
Sunday school, 9 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. Worship service, 9:45 a.m. Summer hours will continue through Labor Day weekend.
Regular hours will resume Sunday, September 13th.